little bit of a pre-chat, and I had to get all my anxiety and angst out on them, like they were my therapists about interviews and everything. So now it's all out of my system. Thank you for persevering through all this. It's Nabi and Tyler from Elevator.
Our pleasure, man. Hello. Our pleasure. Hello.
Now that I said all those wonderful intros, I have to tell a quick story about you, your guys' band, and myself.
Cool.
A couple years ago, like I think it was like might have been 4 or 5, I was DJing at this in Hollywood, right? And okay. I don't even know who was all on the bill that night, but I don't think Elevator was playing. And I was in the back, and there was this vibe in the room where it was kind of like, it was getting really bad. The bar was packed, but it was kind of like, you know, bands were on stage. Some of them didn't have the best of sound, or they weren't putting like the performance that they really wanted, that sort of thing. And there's people,
right?
You know, and the crowd was kind of weird and everything. So, you know, like in the back, I'm spinning tunes in between, and I get people coming up to me and asking me for Pantera while I'm spinning, you know, something else. I'm like, Pantera doesn't go in this mix. So, you know, when you get in a bad mood, you're just like, oh God, I gotta get out of this, right?
And it's, I've been in a lot of those rooms, man. Yeah, for sure.
So, well, you guys know what you got. I got about 2 more hours of this nonsense before I can go home, right? So, I was in a real pissy mood, and I had like, I don't know, 6 or 8 drink tickets that were given to me by the club, and I end up giving them out to some of them. I go to the corner, and I look across the bar, and I see you guys. And you guys are laughing like you're on ecstasy.
Oh, wow.
You know when you're in a crappy mood, and you look up, and you see a whole bunch of people laughing, like going, all right, it's not so bad. Yep. And
turn it around for you, man.
Yeah, you guys totally did it. And the reason why I bring this up is because, you know, you guys have been touring for a while. You've been a band for a while. You've had some EP releases. And yet in that moment, I saw you guys laughing and really enjoying yourselves. And that's kind of what I thought you guys would be doing in the van, even like touring down in the States. Like, that's the only thing I associate you guys with like this really good vibe and touring.
No, good. Well, that's nice. That's awful nice. I mean,
well, we like each other, so that helps.
Yeah, we do. We still like each other most of the time, and yeah, the van's pretty much that. You know, it gets you get into some sort of weird mind meld when you spend that much time together. But yeah, we spend a lot of time. I feel like we only pretty much had good times just in Hollywood.
That's true, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's because you can come home and you can let your guard down a little bit, and you know, you can just, because you're around friends, that sort of thing, and relax. But it was a nice feeling to see something like that. To you know, because sometimes when you see a band, it's just like, why are these guys so serious all the time?
Yeah, we try to. Sometimes we gotta like.
Gotta rein it in.
We gotta rein it in, if anything. Sometimes we gotta, you know, try and put on the airs of a rock band. But yeah, man, that memory is. It's nice to hear, honestly, because I miss that. I miss that bar so much.
Yeah.
So many good evenings and such a. I don't know. Felt like home. That place for sure.
It's a thing for a band. And when I did say this about seeing you guys laughing and enjoying yourselves and then going out on tour, the flip of being nice and loose and enjoying each other's company and working together on something, and then there's a flip to like a serious mode when you're recording. How did that work out for you guys at the Bathhouse in Kingston? Because you recorded this next album there. And you had Chris Walla from Death Cab for Cutie producing it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty incredible experience being able to be in that room in particular. I mean, we recorded it all over. We did a bunch of work here in Hamilton at a studio called Catherine North. And then we spent a good chunk of time up at the Bathhouse. It was really pleasant for us. We'd never sort of had a, you could, that's a studio where you can kind of live in at. It's in the it's in Bath, Ontario, so there's not just not a ton of distractions. I don't know, we've only ever recorded in sort of urban centers where we know a lot of people, so there's always kind of like everybody's kind of got something to do after the thing, or you know, everybody's kind of, you know, has something else going on that they need to be in and out of. But it was really a real gift to have the sort of privilege to just tune out for that period of time and kind of have, you know, the only other thing to do was
hit
the pool or cook dinner.
We took turns cooking for each other and read a lot of books.
Yeah,
right. How long was that time period?
he cooked a really magnificent pasta, really nice red sauce, but a really nice dal tadka, little curry that he whipped up. And the best advice I ever got from him is that you should never trust a producer who can't cook, because it's the same. It's basically the same skill set.
That is amazing. Because when you find out that Chris Walla, when you're doing your research on a band and Chris Walla from Death to Cab for Cutie, you have all that the background noises of the music that he's put out, that sort of thing, and then you try to find the nuances with Elevator, and you can hear little bits in and out of there. Was this a project for him, or was this like, I really want to do this band? Like, because like, how did it go about getting him? Because he seems like the right fit.
Honestly, I think we really lucked out with him. We had a pretty long list of producers, and he was at the very top of our dream list. And
we didn't end up calling anybody else.
Yeah,
that was pretty great. First call worked out, but I mean, yeah, it's incredibly humbling, you know, being this little band from Hamilton, Ontario, and a guy with you know, like Walla, who we became good friends with, and such a wonderful human being, but that, you know, he was moved by the music, and it was, you know, you never really know with those situations, like a sort of producer band relationship. It can always, you don't know until you're in the room together what's going to work, even if it's all talented, nice folks. Sometimes it just doesn't gel, and man, just the first time he stepped in the room, it just made sense, made perfect sense. Yeah,
was that it? From what you just said there, was that something that you were, because you said, hey, you know, like, we've been doing this stuff here in Hamilton, you have your friends around you, you know, the local studios. I mean, there's also, like you said, Catherine North, you also, there's also Threshold Studios. You worked with Mike here before.
Yeah.
So you have all that, like, the friend thing, but moving into, like, there's this, like, you put, like, Chris Walla is like someone that's way up there, so you put this person on a pedestal, and then there's this anxiety of like, is our stuff good enough for this guy? Like, do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
there's that feeling.
Oh man, especially when, like, I don't know, when we were doing, we did a couple weekends of some time of pre-production that we did mostly at our little rehearsal space here in Hamilton, which is, you know, it's a little basement room that we're very grateful for, but it's, you know, a shitty little basement room. And it was kind of hilarious sitting around there and being like, yeah, so I guess our, you know, freaking Guitar Hero is going to show up to our little crappy basement rehearsal space. And
brought a special chair for him.
Yeah.
Brought a comfortable a computer desk chair.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's just so gracious, and like, you know, there was definitely obviously anxiety leading up to it for us, just kind of that good nervous energy that you get. But you know, as soon as he was in the room, it was just instantly, you know, we're here to make music, and there was kind of nothing in the no airs in the way of that at all.
He's a very humble guy as well.
Right.
He doesn't give off those airs that are intimidating. He's very, very kind.
Leave a piece of yourself in each churchyard gymnasium. Like songs you wrote to God and gave away to everyone. The powers that be predicted you to me. A flood relief, it shifts this one-way street. The firing squads ruled out, but there was still some point.
that's good to hear, especially in the creative process, because it is really hard for people to do something. And this is like to me, not to make a huge, super huge deal out of it, but to me, it's a pinnacle point in a band's career when you go from that local level, you start getting some recognition, and you're just like, wow, this is great. And then you're like, all of a sudden being, it's almost like a propelling thing where it's kind of like, okay, this is us, and here we are, and my God, I hope we don't screw this up. I hope nothing screws this up for us.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it felt like a really great step, and man, is it ever nice to kind of be just starting late this last year, starting to put that music in the world. You know, it means so much to us, and the process of making it was definitely transformative for us as people and a band.
Right. If you're just tuning in right now, you're listening to Steel City Music. I'm your host, Gunner, and I'm talking to Nabby and Tyler from Elevator. They have an upcoming show at the Ockmar House, which is at the top of the mountain. We call it the mountain here in Hamilton, folks, but it's not really a mountain.
Top of the escarpment.
Yeah. It's all a part of Hamilton Winterfest. They're playing the hub at Hamilton Winterfest Hub at Ockmar, and tickets are about $20 with taxes included. You can find out more information by visiting Hamilton Winterfest online. Let's just switch gears for a second. I'm going to ask you, I want to talk about this before we get to some other things, because if I don't, I'm going to forget it and it's going to bug me. For sure. I think it was like last year, a year and a half ago, I contacted Mike Keir at Threshold Studios. And I wanted to talk about some of the recording that he's been doing, because he's been going through a change at his studios and his career and everything, and everything's like moving for the positive for that guy. And I when I was talking to him, I said, what's the story behind Elevator and the Kate Bush song? Because I'm a huge Kate Bush fan, and when I heard you guys do, I'm like going, oh my God, like that's like it's so good, right?
And, oh, shucks, man. She's the best.
No, dude, because sometimes people cover music and you're like going, what are you doing? Just do one of your own songs. You're kind of butchering it for me. But that was just like, there was like a lot of stuff going on in there. It was just like, wow, this is like, it's almost like you were drawing from the pages of a type of sound, like paying homage to it, from Kate Bush to Peter Gabriel to that kind of vibe. And Mike said, they came with me with the song, but I had to think about doing it because that song meant so much to my mother. I wanted to I was like, yeah, okay, let's do this. Where were you guys coming from on that that song?
I have to be super honest about my personal knowledge of Kate Bush is like quite recent. I didn't grow up listening to Kate Bush,
right?
So that's more in the last decade. I've had the pleasure of discovering her at this point in my life, and we were just trying to think of songs that we would love to cover, and that was one of the more powerful songs that, means something to us. I think it's a song that will never stop being relevant.
Right.
Yeah. It was so cool getting that from. I think how the impetus of us doing that with Mike here at Threshold. We've known Mike since we kind of came to Hamilton and made our first EP with Mike and kind of go way back. But I think, if I remember right, we had been playing it live a little bit for like a couple shows. Mike came to one and then just kind of shot us a text out of the blue. And yeah, said that same thing, that like, this was a really important song to his mom, and that he just wanted us to kind of come in and see if we could do, because we had no plan to record it. It was just going to be a live thing until he shot us that text. And it was, yeah, very gracious of him to have us in, and he killed it. I think it's a really great sounding recording.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't hurt me. Do you want to feel how it feels? Do you want to know that it doesn't hurt me? Do you want to hear about the deal that I'm making? You and me. If I
Now let's move forward to the new album. We talked about the Chris Walla. We're up in Kingston. We're recording the music. You did some pre-production, of course, and you have I think it's 12 songs that you put on this one.
Yeah, 12 songs.
12 songs. Now, did you guys have these? Were you forming some of these songs while you were on the road, or was it like a sitting down writing thing, or was this like over like 2 or 3 years, like, I have this song, this idea, let's bring this up to Bathhouse?
A little bit of all of that, probably. Yeah, well, we've been... A lot of the songs, honestly, have also changed. They started as one thing, and then we revisited them multiple times before they felt like they had arrived where they were supposed to. This whole album... is songwriting over quite a few years,
right?
But with some recent tweaks.
Yeah, it was a long process, kind of collecting over a few years, I think. And then, yeah, like you said, kind of putting them all to the ringer, right before recording there, and just a lot of them were really transformed. But yeah, it's a collection of a few years of working on the road and writing at home and sort of writing in the moment too, and a lot of things kind of came together in the studio. A few of the songs were more sort of creations from that environment a little bit. Yeah.
When you guys are writing the lyrics to some of these songs, as you said, like, okay, it's been a collection of things from a couple of years, ideas, that sort of thing. Do the ideas come from, oh God, here comes the interview question, interpersonal connections, which is a horrible thing to say. Or is it coming from reading, that sort of thing? Because you said that earlier, that there's a lot of reading, there's a lot of cooking, and you're reading and everything. And I asked that because we're going into Slip, and Slip is about Scottish mythology. It's about shape shifting. It's to me, when I was reading that, okay, this song is about a Selkie from Scottish folklore, the Scottish folk, that sort of thing. And I was like, oh, this is like, okay, cool, right? So is this the type of band that likes to write songs about what they're reading and that sort of thing? Or is it the type of band of what they're experiencing through culture as far as like shows and TV and movies, that sort of thing, right? There's because influences can come from everywhere. But where primarily, like, is a lot of the stuff coming from what you guys are reading?
I think, again, I'm going to give you a nice generic answer.
Atta girl.
I think it's a little bit of everything. Again, with lyrics, I write the majority of the lyrics for Elevator, and Tyler writes some of them as well. Sometimes we tag team. I think a lot of them start as one or the other, and then wind up accruing other meaning. Sometimes I'll start writing a song from personal experience, and it'll wind up becoming kind of fantastical and about somebody else, real or mythological. And sometimes it is involved with, sometimes it comes from stories that we've read, that I've read. A little bit of everything. Yeah, really?
And I mean, it's like, I feel like with all these, even when we kind of get, because there are definitely songs that lean a little bit more, a little bit of a smaller scope, I guess, lyrically. And then, like you said, like a song like Slip, that's pretty fantastical and, kind of elemental. But I think even those songs, when you get kind of prog rock, like we do on that one, ultimately, every song's kind of about you and someone you love.
Right.
You know, and I think that's the thing with all of these sort of big themes and stuff, you can kind of imbue them with anything you want, you know? So when folks are singing that song, or when we're singing that song, and if it means something to us, you know what I mean? On the surface, it can be about, sure, the Selkies and Celtic mythology, but... that's not who we're singing it to necessarily.
No. Well, I ask that question because I hear a lot of musicians will say, well, this was about this was about that, and that's not how I intended the song. But with Slip, I just thought that I like the fact that you guys said it was like you really progged out on it. But the thing with me when I was I watched the video, I listened to the song, and with me, I just thought this character within this video and within this song was just a character, but the real meaning behind the song was, get the hell out of a bad relationship. do what you can to get out of it. And that's what I drew upon that, right?
There you go.
Because there's a certain...
That's wonderful. I think that's totally... I think that's a great way to take it, man.
Yeah, that's absolutely valid. That's, yeah. I mean, the song is sort of about escaping the things that hold us captive. And I think that that can be different for everybody. But that's the intention of the song.
It's a wonderful song. It's a great video, too. By the way, Hoxley Workman...
Wow. Yeah,
what a guy.
What's the deal on that? How'd you get him to do the video? Because he's in the video. It's great.
Hawk's a buddy of ours from, I mean, I'll let Nab talk about their history with Hoxley a little more.
I'm an old school fan of Hoxley. I grew up listening to Hoxley Workman. I think he was my first concert that I went to, and kind of idolized the guy. And met him at a festival I was playing in Guelph years ago. He was playing, and then we were playing a show in Toronto.
At the Burdock in Toronto years ago, like a pretty small room. And I don't know, we don't get like phased too easily. We've been in rooms with people that we should be nervous around, and certainly, you know, bigger stages and stuff. But we were sound checking or something. I don't know. Nabby was in the dressing room, and I remember I went downstairs and came back to the dressing room and was like, "Nab, I don't want to freak you out, but I think Hoxley Workman is here."
Yeah.
and
went and played a show and got to talk to him after, and
he liked it. And then we just, you know, kind of became fast friends. And when he was living in Montreal, hung out there a bunch, and happened to be when we were on tour, kind of across Canada, he like happened to be in the same town a couple times and came to the shows or whatever. But he's such a great, you know, incredible is the wrong word, but I guess it fits. But he's an incredible songwriter and such a legend, and has been an incredibly kind friend and mentor to us. And
absolutely.
So I guess the video, the long answer to the video is just everything was coming together on one weekend last minute, and we had a bunch of headshots and CVs from different actors because we knew we wanted somebody
trying to find a role, yeah,
play this part. So and then
I just sort of said as a dreamy thing, I was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we could get Hoxley to cameo? But that's not going to be possible
because it was the next day we were shooting.
It was a few days, yeah. But
it was maybe 2 days,
pretty last minute. Yeah. And anyway, shot him a text and he wanted to do it, so we really lucked out. Hey, this is Nabby from Elevator. We're playing Winterfest at the Hub at Aukmar, February 26th. I washed up, you reined me in. A mess of hair, all sea and skin. You held my hands, you told the line. To your canvas tent, in your net of twine.
dust doesn't rub off so easy this time around. It's getting harder to catch that feeling. These visions no longer pleasing, lifting off the ground. Mother Aya sets you down too soon. Charlie I, Charlie O, Charlie Ayahuasca, hold your tongue, bite your lip, start moving faster. Charlie I, Charlie O, Charlie Ayahuasca, hold your tongue, bite your lip. The words don't come so easy when I voice my doubts. Are they even worth repeating? Old flames keep you believing, but when they burn out, I'd hate to watch you fall into yourself. Charlie I, Charlie O, Charlie Ayahuasca, hold your tongue, bite your lip, start moving faster. Charlie I, Charlie O, Charlie Ayahuasca, hold your tongue, bite your lip. I never thought
Hey, this is Navi from Elevator. Visit our website at elevatormusic.com.
Lay hands on the broken one you see. Point them towards the salt inside the sea. Yeah.
Hey, this is Nabby from Elevator. You're listening to Steel City Music with Gunner.
Thank you. are CIOI, but our friends call us Indy 101.5. Live from Hamilton.
You're listening to Steel City Music. I am your host, Gunner. In this hour, I'm just going to spin all Sadie's music. I just got told that Dallas Good from the Sadies has passed away. It's just crazy. The man was 48 years of age. Apparently, earlier this in the week, according to the Sadies Facebook page, he was under doctor's care for coronary illness. So it's a tough time for his family, his band, and the fans. So I was gonna pull together all these different quotes and this and that, and then I thought to myself, you know, the best way to celebrate someone is to just play their music, and I think that's what I'm gonna do this hour. So what I will do is, in the first set, and this is like from just various albums, that sort of thing, you're gonna hear Cut Corners, God Bless the Infidels, The Old Rugged Cross, Through Strange Eyes, The Noise Museum, The Element Song, River Fog, Questions I Never Ask, As Above, So Below, will all be in this set of music. And yeah, I have on the other half hour of this hour, I have a whole bunch more for you. Once again, Dallas Good of the Sadies has passed away.